Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Blow the Whistle episode 20? 20.
21.
21, yeah, wow.
Maybe.
Is it 21?
Yeah, it's a second in...
We should probably look
at... It's a second in 2019, we'll go with that.
Second in 2019, that's right, second in 2019. So, guys, thanks again for joining us, Blow the Whistle. Lots of dominoes fallen here in this NFL coaching charades.
Down to what? How many games left now? We got four this weekend.
Four this weekend. Well, everything. The coaching charades I'm talking about. The NFL season's winding down. We have a lot to discuss today.
Yeah, I'm saying like some things are winding down, some things are heating up.
Yes.
I mean, the coaching carousel is on fire right now.
Coaching carousel is on fire. Well, before we get into the playoffs, before we get into anything, let's... I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Oh, that's kind of weird. You usually don't want to talk about it.
About 20 weeks I've been waiting for this one. accountability.
Yeah.
Eric, you had a very, very nice week at four. I mean, 4-0-1, correct?
Yeah.
Didn't lose any games. And I wish I had some more sound effects here because I'd give myself a standing ovation here because it's been a long time coming.
Yep.
5-0 week.
Wow. Some said it would never happen.
I was one of them. Yeah. I didn't think it ever happened, but
me neither.
Wow. You know, I was due for it, but 5-0 week and combined between the two of us, even more impressive, 9-0-1.
Yeah, that's very impressive. What was your secret last week to those winning picks?
So I made a list of all the bets I liked and I took the exact opposite.
Smart.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
Yeah. So
it took week 18 to figure it out, but we got there.
There's one way to, yeah, you know, that's what, and that, you know what, hopefully you're listening and,
just don't expect it this week.
Well,
I mean,
well, hey, I might take the same approach.
Yeah, you're on a heater.
Yeah. But so speaking of heating up though, so, NFL coaching, carousel here, some dominoes are falling. Like I mentioned earlier today, the news, well, I guess we should start with, yesterday, Cliff Kingsbury. Was that the first domino to fall? Or no, probably Matt LaFleur was.
Yeah, I think that came out Sunday night.
Sunday night, Matt LaFleur. We'll discuss that. We'll just kind of go over everything first. Cliff Kingsbury to the Arizona Cardinals. That's kind of an interesting one. It's getting a lot of...
I think they all are.
They all have great storylines. Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay, is official.
Yep. Vic Fangio, 60-year-old Vic.
Yeah.
Leaving the Chicago Bears. I love it from the Packers' perspective. Get him out of here, so...
Yeah. I mean, that defense is... I mean, the monsters of the Midway are back. And then, of course, locally, Freddie Kitchens being promoted from within to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. So, of these coaching changes that are considered official, what...
Let me say one thing first.
Yeah.
We know nothing.
We know nothing.
These coaching, acquisitions or changes or whatever you want to call it. Like, we will have no opinion to
no
base it off of. I mean, everyone was, you know, Frank Wright was the last choice, last man standing last year.
Right. By default. Yeah.
Left at the altar. So, I mean, it's, yeah. So you really don't have an idea until they get there and get everything in place. So
but that's
it's going to take
a
couple of years.
That's why they pay us the big bucks to make predictions.
I just think it's funny when someone's just like, oh, this guy's,
someone's so dead set. Yeah.
Or this guy, you know, what does he know or anything like that? And it's just like,
But as a fan, and as you know, if you're a fan of the league, I'm more of a fan of like this stuff, like the coaching changes. Like I'm just fascinated how everything kind of like plays out. Because the NFL is like a big fraternity, you know what I mean? You don't know how it's just interesting to me how everything kind of plays out. And the one that obviously strikes, like you might disagree with me, but the Freddie Kitchens one, because again, you know,
that one's the one that stands out more than any other one.
No, just because that's the one that hits closest to home, because I listen to the sports talk all day and you hear about all the interviews and like, I mean,
yeah,
everything's been speculated.
As of what?
Well, yes. Then not to mention Hugh Jackson was fired like week eight. So you've been hearing about this since week eight.
Yeah. So, I mean, as of what, 2 days ago, it was Stefanski and Kitchens, right?
Yeah.
And they brought him back.
It's Stefanski's and Kitchens. And then there's been reports that Mike McCarthy could have got the job, but he denied. Like they said the one stipulation would be you have to keep Freddie Kitchens as the offensive coordinator.
If they must have asked him that weeks ago, because...
Well, he's declined. He denied everything.
Yeah,
like
he was all in on the Jets job. That's what I've heard. So
yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. I don't know why, but...
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's it, because all the other ones are shit. Like, why if you have the chance to go where you want to go?
Yeah. I mean, if that is the case, I don't know. Like, he denied. I know he shut down Arizona pretty quickly. I know.
Yeah.
But yeah. But we'll stick. Let's go one at a time here. Let's start with Freddie Kitchens. Give me your opinion on it, because I feel like we have different. You don't think it's as good as a hire as I think it is. I have a feeling.
I mean, it's a good hire, but I mean, I don't know. I like it just because you kind of keep something from the past in there as far as something that Hugh didn't bring in.
Yeah.
Granted, there's still some fumes in there, but I saw that the list of coaches that were fired today, so I think they got the rest of those fumes out from the poop that Hugh had with him.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Who else? Greg Williams, gone.
Greg, I mean, that kind of sucks for him because that's a tough spot for him to be in, too.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Cleveland, I mean...
He could have did a bit.
They should do nothing but, you know, clap their hands.
I feel like, for the most part, he's getting that kind of response.
I agree.
I thought he did a good job. I mean, here's the thing, though. You have to make a decision. Like you said this weeks ago, you have to make a decision what you feel is best for your franchise moving forward. You know, just because of a 5-3 interim head coaching record, that doesn't...
No.
That's not the end-all, be-all. However, though, what you saw in that time frame, that 5-3, you know, time frame, is that you saw a quarterback go from a rookie to a legitimate NFL starting quarterback. You know, you saw that transformation happen between your eyes, and you credit, if you can credit one person with that, you credit.
Yeah. So if Kitchens, Kitchens can credit one person from that, it'd be Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Because
if Baker could credit one person, it'd probably be Freddie Kitchens.
Because that's what it is. It's just that relationship that he had. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Coordinator wise.
Well, I feel like it's an attractive job.
Is he going to bring back Todd Haley since that's who brought him in?
I don't think that's going to be happening.
Oh, wow.
He still has John Dorsey looking over him, but do you think this was Dorsey's hire, or do you think this was a Haslam hire?
No, I think it was Dorsey's hire. Like they said, they also said that for the first time he will report directly to John Dorsey instead of Haslam. So this is the first for that owner to have them report to the general manager, not to him, which is, I think, smart. And
a
long,
big
long
step
long
in
overdue,
the right direction.
So.
It's a good step in the right direction. I just, on this, before we move on to the next one, I feel that Kitchens, one thing that I heard quite a bit, like a kind of talking about why this is not a great hire because of the lack of experience he has as a head coach. I heard even someone discuss like he's never been a head coach even at the high school level. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, think about how many people get into coaching that jump right into a GA role, and then you may never be a head coach.
No,
you
know? I mean, that's
probably more common than not.
That is a scary thought, but to be around the game for 20-some years and be in the NFL, excuse me, for like 13 years,
yeah.
I mean, that's enough there to where you have people to lean on to, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does bring in some veteran coordinators and assistants.
And to be honest with you, the reason I kind of like him, he seems like a guy that can handle the media well. He seems like a guy. He's just like a cool dude that those guys. He's like a player's coach, but he's not too much of a player's coach.
I know Gene Stallings, the old coach at Alabama, is all fired up for him.
So. He's got some Stallings in him too.
Yeah. That's all good. He did fire Bob Wiley today. So
he did.
Yeah. Moment of silence. Yeah. For Bob Wiley.
People love Bob Wiley. I've never been. I love the hut. I love the hut thing. But is that hut? Yeah.
That's it.
But God, that guy. Does not take care of himself, but hey, that offensive line played great.
Yeah,
they did play great down the stretch. Moving right along, let's talk about your Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, Peter LaFleur's brother from Average Joe's Gym.
Yep.
Now, LaFleur, why don't you take me away on this one? Because I'll tell you, from an outsider perspective, looking at the Titans offense last year, I wouldn't know that this guy, you know, is as. I didn't know he had head coach written all over him. I really didn't.
So I'll say first things first. Packers had an early jump on their head coaching carousel that they had brought in because they interviewed more than like 10 or so people, and it was pretty broad from the beginning. They had a sit-down interview with him. I believe it was Saturday. He was one of the last 7, 8, 9, 10 people. The next, I guess, Ted Thompson or Gutekunst talked to him and said, you know, like, gave him some BS line of, yeah, we'll be in touch. What's the time frame? You know, I'm not sure we'll be in touch. But he ended up saying that was just BS, and he called him the next day to offer him the job. So they knew their guy once they saw it. So that's a key. You know,
he stood out. Yeah,
you know, make an impression like that. But LaFleur, coming from a good group of coaches. Like
he's in the McVay tree,
nope,
correct?
Nope.
In Washington?
Nope. He's in the Mike Shanahan tree.
Oh.
So Mike Shanahan, who was at Washington, had McVay, Kyle Shanahan.
All together.
Peter LaFleur, all together. So they had all those guys. And then Kyle got the gig at OC in Atlanta. Took, I'm going to keep saying Peter. You know,
Matt LaFleur with him.
Took Matt with him. He was there for a year, coached the quarterbacks. Matt Ryan had a great year.
MVP season.
Yep, goes to LA, coaches the offense with McVay. Like, they're all boys, so, you know, they're getting along. Everything's good. Didn't get play-calling duties. Tennessee came knocking the offseason, said, hey, we'll give you the reins of the offense. Come and run this ship. So that's what he did with Vrabel. I mean, his hands were probably a little bit more tied than when he was had his little bit more reign when he was with his buddies. But that offense wasn't exactly meant for explosiveness. They did beat the shit out of some teams that are still playing in the playoffs now, the Eagles, Cowboys.
Your hands are kind of tied with, like, Mariota at quarterback.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have feeling in his arm for, like, three games, they said.
Yeah, and just in general.
And Blaine Gabbert starts four games. Like, that's not great.
Right.
And Derrick Henry didn't have a 100-yard game until week 12. So it's like,
I would say they definitely, as a team, from an outsider's perspective, I think that they overachieved a little bit. Given all the circumstances.
They were 9-7 and could easily have been 11-5.
Yeah, they're right there.
So
you're happy with the hire?
I like that.
And I think, like, that, similar to the Freddie Kitchens hire, above all, you got to get it. You got to get to work with your quarterback and your head coach. They have to be on the same page.
And they have, yeah. So that was the other thing. So him and Rodgers have talked before and after getting hired. Like, the other couple things that kind of stood out to me that I liked the most was, like, LaFleur's, like, no take shit or doesn't take shit attitude. Yeah, you know, like,
that's good.
We'll give it back. We'll coach the shit out of you. Get you the most he can out of you, and kind of go in the same direction of everyone.
And you think Rodgers wants that?
I hope he does, because if not, it's going to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
He's got to have an open mind.
You think Belichick, Brady, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, like, Aaron Rodgers needs, if you can get him married up with someone like that too, then, I mean, the sky's the limit for them. And the same thing, I think, with Freddie Kitchens too, with the Browns. I feel like if you can find that connection, which everyone's looking for, when you have a star quarterback, if you can find that connection, I feel like nothing but good things happen.
Does it worry you that Kitchens has no affiliation with Sean McVay?
I'm sure he's met him once or twice, maybe.
Does it worry you that he was also the ugliest coach hired in the past 3 days?
No, I like that about him, actually. All these other coaches are getting hired. They look like movie stars. And besides your boy Fangio.
Yeah.
Grandpa Fangio. And then Bruce Arians, he's a good-looking guy, too, right?
Kangle.
With his hair?
Kangle.
Lack thereof.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess let's jump to that. Bruce Arians.
Brought in Bowles, right?
Yeah, Todd Bowles, the coordinator. Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator. Yeah. So he's kind of – I kind of like the hire, personally. I think it's every coaching situation is different. Like, I'm not saying Bruce Arians would be, like, a great hire for the – he probably would be a good hire for the Jets, I think. Anyone that's good at the quarterbacks, personally, if you have a young quarterback that's in need of coaching, I'm normally a fan
Jameis
of it.
Needs a lot.
Jameis needs a lot of it. The fact that I feel like that's a team, though. They're hurting for a nice, strong veteran presence, and I like that. I feel like that's what you get with
Bruce Arians. They were asking him, like, can Jameis win, yada, yada, you know, this, that, and the other. He said, yeah, of course, like, he can win it all.
Yeah,
like, he supposed to say? He's also the number one pick, so.
Right. I mean, Jameis could. I mean, it's like.
He's got to fix a lot, so.
I'm sure he does, but, Dirk Cutter's not doing him any favors. Like, that guy, nothing changed the whole time he was there. They
had a lot of offensive weapons, and Ryan Fitzpatrick looked awfully good for about 5 weeks.
Yeah, then he looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, I'll take 5 weeks of MVP play rather than about every other week of
Jameis. Jameis played good down the stretch.
He did. He probably didn't turn the ball over as much.
Right. And so, I mean, that's something that – still, though, I mean, given all his intangibles, like, you hope a guy like Bruce Arians – and you know that's why they're giving him the job, because he told him, like – he must have told him, like,
right. Yeah, I think he's somewhat.
I can work with Jameis.
With the owners down there.
Yeah. Oh, and the GM, too, I know. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Jason Licht, I think, like, whatever his name is. He's in with him, too. But I just, you know that he's saying, like, you know, I know he goes back, like, Jameis, like, you said, attended his campus in high school, whatever. But you know he's going back there saying, I can work with Jameis. I can get this done. You couple that with Byron Leftwich, that's a guy he's familiar with. That's a guy he likes. I don't know. We'll see what can happen. I'll tell you this. It can't be worse than Dirk Cutter. That guy, even watching
when
from Hard Knocks.
When did they finish this year, 8-8?
I don't know. Whatever it was, just watching Hard Knocks, they couldn't have been 8-8. Were they?
Maybe the past 2 years are 8-8 or something like that.
Whatever it is. Watching that guy on Hard, he just seems like just some guys got it, some guys don't. I would not be – I would if that guy was my head coach, like, from a fan or player perspective, it'd be hard for me to, like, get on board with that guy.
You just had Todd Bowles as your head coach for 4 years.
Yeah, and I never liked him.
Okay.
I was pretty out there about that. Like, the guy was like a mute just standing on the sideline. One hire that I'm more in favor of than I feel like a lot of people is Cliff Kingsbury to Arizona. Before I give you my take on that, why don't you give me your thoughts?
I have a lot of questions. That's it with it. Like, yeah. I mean, he doesn't know the NFL. Like, he was just coaching USC 2 weeks ago.
Ex-Jet.
So, yeah.
For two games or whatever.
Yeah, ex-Patriot. I mean, I don't know what NFL he does know. And that's, like, what's kind of been brought up. And in the interview, I think Steve Keim's a GM.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to attack this process together of getting assistants and getting coaches in here. So that's, like, not your guys necessarily, not necessarily guys you've worked with in the past. Like, I feel like there's a lot of unknowns, and continuity is huge,
yeah,
especially as a first-time head coach. So I don't want – I mean, I'm rooting for the best. I'd like to see what he could do with Rosen, even though, like, I'm not sure how big of a fan Baker is of him, but I'm sure, you know, somebody had to reach out to Baker.
Like, I know Baker does not –
like him?
No.
No?
Because he kind of ran him out of, like, Texas Tech when he brought Davis Webb.
Yeah, and then the guy gets fired from his alma mater, so how much can it really be?
I don't know. So my whole thing with this is I like to hire from a perspective that, like, I like taking, like, a chance on a guy. I feel like sometimes...
It was a big chance.
Rather than getting a retread coach, like, and I hate to compare it to Mike McCarthy, but that's the only really other option you have here. Just say Mike McCarthy.
They couldn't have got him, but yeah.
They couldn't have got him, but I'm just saying, just to compare the two, like... Cliff Kingsbury, young guy, like, very innovative with offense. Like, I know the Jets brought him in just to pick his brain on offense. That's what that was reported. But I just feel like a guy like that, sometimes it pays just to take a flyer on a guy like that. You don't know what you're going to get. Like, he could be the next McVay.
In Arizona, obviously, they have no idea what the hell they're doing,
right,
because they just fired a coach after 1 year.
So. Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. I agree with that. But I think Kingsbury would have been a knockout hire for anyone had he been, like, in an offense coordinator role. Just worry about this dude. Just worry about the offense. Like,
I like to see him just coaching it.
But he's like, charismatic enough where, like, he does fit, like, the head coaching mold.
Sure.
Good-looking guy. Like, he checks all the boxes, like, what you want, like, a head coach, other than the fact that, like, he hasn't had a ton of success. But like I mentioned the weeks before, I think it's way harder to win at Texas Tech than what people, like, gave him credit for. Like, it's tough to compete in that conference with, you know, the Oklahomas, the Texases. I don't know if Texas A&M, no, they probably were never part of the conference when he was there. Texas Tech is, like I said, it's like Vanderbilt of the SEC. It's like, they don't have the funds, they don't have the alumni, they don't have the facilities that a lot of these other schools do. It's hard to compete in that conference.
It's not just going from Texas Tech to the NFL. It's like going from Texas Tech to USC as an offensive coordinator to head coach in NFL.
Right. It's a very weird, like...
It is. It'll be very interesting to see.
It makes perfect sense for him to be, like, an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Like, when he got fired from Texas Tech, I thought that's, like, where it would go. Like, USC made sense to me. Like, okay, he's going to take a job and get back on his feet and try to give it, you know, another shot. But he almost does seem like he fits the NFL game more than the college game.
Yeah.
It just seems like, you know, you don't have to worry about – I'm not sure what the difference is. I mean, just besides, like, the recruiting aspect of it, and it's, you know, pretty much year-round. But he just seems to me like his style – fits the NFL mold more than it does the college mold, but
we'll see
what happens with that one. That one is super interesting, but I mean, it's clearly, like, with a lot of these hires, you look at Arians, Kingsbury, LaFleur, or Peter LaFleur and Freddie Kitchens. Those four hires right there are all geared towards, like, your quarterback.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, that's kind of like, that's whatever. And then you got
Fangio.
Yeah. Fangio. In a roundabout way that they're kind of
– They hired Gary.
Yeah, Gary Kubiak.
The offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So, and he's actually been around the team, too, since 2017. Yeah. So
he got – like, what is it? He's always, like, he's got a heart condition or
– Yeah, he was canned after 2015, 2016, won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then he's just been, like, an analyst or offensive assistant. So that's good for them.
Well, he's been like a team, like, working in the front office in some capacity.
Offensive analyst or whatever it was for the past 2 years or a year and a half. So, no, he's good. He's got a hell of a pedigree. So,
yeah, and that's good. I kind of like the Fangio hire. It seems like it's pretty, like.
Yeah, I think it's him and.
Outside the box, kind of like. That's one of those ones you never really.
Well, I mean, he was a hot commodity as a defensive coordinator for a while. And
how long has he been in Chicago for?
In Chicago, maybe 3 years, 4 years.
So he was like he was retained.
They kept
on that
it, yeah, they made it a point to retain him when Nagy came in. Like that was the big thing for them, was keeping him. So
yeah. So I mean there you go. Like, I mean, things are kinda starting to line up, and we have just three vacancies left. Cincinnati, Miami, and the New York Jets. And now I don't know. I kinda like the only one I have a feeling on is the Bengals. because I do believe that they're going to end up like hiring Hugh Jackson as their coach. As crazy as that sounds, everything that I read, it's going to be Vance Joseph or Hugh Jackson, which to me seems like two awful hires.
Yeah,
correct me if you think I'm wrong, but like, why do you want either one of those guys?
No, I agree.
Vance Joseph, like the Broncos haven't had two consecutive losing seasons in like the franchise's history until Vance Joseph steps in, and then obviously, you know, we don't have to talk about the clown.
I thought there was one other name mentioned with the Bengals, but I can't think of it now. So.
Maybe Greg Williams would be the only other guy I can think of now. I highly doubt, but you're just talking about someone that knows the division well. That'd be one person I can think of, but I'd rather have Greg Williams than Hugh Jackson.
No, I mean, there's still some good names out there, so it will be interesting to see.
Those are the only two names I'm hearing, though, associated with the Bengals from my research. Yeah, but then Miami, I have no idea. Have you heard?
I mean, I haven't paid too much attention to their search. I had the Packers thing going on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, since then, like, I mean, I really haven't heard too much about anything going on with Miami. Like, ever since they fired Gase, I mean, I haven't heard anything. I don't know. And then New York, obviously, McCarthy. McCarthy comes out and says the only job he'd take at this point would be the Jets. Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like other teams are going after him?
Yeah, they obviously have. They've all reached out to him. So he just doesn't want, for multiple reasons, he doesn't want to go anywhere but obviously a good coaching position and probably somewhere East Coast, Midwest.
But with like Cleveland, though, like what was all that talk about? Like they had him scheduled to come in, and then they pushed the interview back. Then it got postponed again.
No idea.
I mean, I'd like to hear like what he'd say about that, but
you probably won't.
Probably never will. And that's the thing about McCarthy. That's why you got to respect a guy like that, because he is the ultimate professional. He's not going to like air any dirty laundry out or anything like that. He's not Hugh Jackson. Like,
yeah, you won't have to worry about any of that.
Yeah. So I bet you he'll end up in New York. To me, it's kind of pointing in that direction. Hell, by the time this podcast is posted, he might be out there somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Not too much more to kind of talk about other than...
you missed a championship game.
Yeah. What
would you have on that pick?
I had Clemson covering the spread. I thought it'd be a closer game than that, but just an absolute ass-whooping.
It really was. And like
I've never seen Saban get out-coached like that.
It was bad.
Not having his guys ready. It just seemed like they weren't ready to play.
To me, like watching the game, it was... They could run the ball any time, any place, any way they wanted to. They could run the ball. And then throwing the pick six, you get behind. Well, shit, you know, we threw our way back.
Alabama could run the ball, you're saying?
Yeah, any time they wanted to. And they did for whenever they tried. I mean, averaging over 6 yards a carry. But at the same time, it's like you get down 21 now. Tua's being Tua in terms of, like they talked about it on the broadcast too, just like he has so much confidence in himself, which I love. It's like gunslinger mentality, but he'll throw it around and, you know, think he can get the ball in some spots where he can't and try to make some plays, and it snowballs on him. So to me, this game would have been a better start for Jalen Hurts. Go in there, just attacking the run game. Their D-line was weak anyway, so I mean, that's what I would have just been out attacking it. You probably would be up 14-0 at halftime. I mean, and then that just set him even further back going to the second half. Because at halftime, I feel like you knew, like, they're not coming back in it. They can't stop them. Like, Bama's things are defense. They couldn't stop them for a second.
Yeah.
They got torched.
I mean, I agree with you about they're not really playing their game. Once they fall behind, they're not really playing their game. They want to establish a run game.
They can throw the ball, but Christ, Clemson's receivers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like,
it was unfair.
I've known all about T. Higgins since he's about a sophomore in high school, because he committed to Tennessee for 2 years, and then last minute he flipped his commitment.
Who was the kid from Alabama?
The number 8. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, that's the one.
But he's like 6'5", but they're both studs.
The one, yeah, reach back.
Yeah, they're both. I mean,
unbelievable.
They're both studs. I mean, I don't know. I do agree with you about Alabama. Like, once they fall behind, they're not playing their game, and that's going to hurt them. But my opinion, watching that game, I just thought Clemson kicked their ass in every single way. I mean, it wasn't even close. That D line dominated that game. That defensive line for Clemson was, I mean,
that's why they should have just kept running right at them, because they were three-headed backfield. Like they had your boy Lane Kiffin on Dan Patrick's show, and he was just talking. He's like, obviously everything's 2020 or hindsight's 2020, but like looking back at it, you have that three-headed monster. You want to run the ball more, and I can guarantee you, Saban's on the headset, not exactly screaming, "Let's throw the ball."
Yeah,
but they know what they have in Tua, and they were, you know, the potential that he has. So
I mean, I just feel like they didn't come out ready. Like Clemson came out just firing, and you know, I don't, a couple things, like you said, hindsight's 2020, but what on God's green earth was that fake field goal?
Dude, I have no idea.
That was like...
I don't think Saban was watching it either. I think he was
well,
just...
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he runs the special teams there, right? He controls the special teams.
I don't know that.
I'm almost certain he does.
Maybe I know he's a D-backs coach, but...
I might be mistaken there, but I always thought like he kind of takes control of the special teams. Maybe things have changed, but I know at least at one
point
watching
the broadcast, they were lined up in a regular 4-3.
I'm like, defense. Okay, it's like, well, they're like, yeah, Clemson, you know, here it looks like they're ready for the fake.
That's
here,
what Reese Davis said, yeah.
And then sure enough, it's like they run right in that like the heart of the defense.
And then you look at him, and you look at Saban on the sideline, and they flash to him real quick, and he's with like two other people that are like... running towards him, or maybe he might have been running towards them, and there's like, we missed him or something like that. You heard him say like, we missed him. And then after the game, you heard him say, somebody missed their block. We didn't have it blocked.
That thing didn't have a chance.
No.
Yeah, that thing didn't have a chance.
Oh, the block
beginning.
by your kicker. Especially the lead block by your kicker.
They had like the sky view angle, like from like behind. It's like.
They were catching.
You missed two. You missed like eight people. I mean,
they were catching some bad breaks, going four and out in the red zone, not getting any points.
But
on the
some
floor.
Of those plays had no chance. Like
no, I mean, they should have got points because but their kicker was terrible.
But two plays I remember in particular. How they tried to do a shovel pass.
Run? Yeah,
the shovel pass was terrible. And two run into the left side of the field, like on fourth down. I'm like that.
Yeah, the one was just like a quarterback sweep.
Yeah,
like,
it had no chance either.
Throw it.
Just some of those plays.
Maybe behind your back.
It's just very un-Alabama-esque. But I got to be honest, I wasn't. You wouldn't see me like upset about it. Yeah. I was kind of happy to see it finally. You know.
You know the last coach to beat Alabama by more than 16.
Phil Fulmer.
Close. Nick Saban, who's at LSU.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's last funny. Coach to win by 16.
It must have been around that. Jeez, that is a long time ago. What, 2004, 2005?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even know when that would have been. Wow. All right. So I guess that's pretty much sums it up. Oh, last bit of news, I guess. Kyler Murray. So you see the news about Kyler Murray? Debating whether he might be coming back for another for a senior season.
Oh, really?
That's the word. If you're Kyler Murray, what are you doing here? Are you taking the guaranteed money? Or?
Shit, I love playing football. I come back and I play football. I take out a hell of an insurance policy.
And then see where you go in the draft?
Maybe just go back to baseball. But come back, you got a shot.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean, if you love
playing the game, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. That's they're talking about that.
You don't need money.
If you can get one bit of advice to him, it's like,
yeah,
life is too short. Do what you want to do.
It's going to be interesting seeing his dad was like a former ball player, right? And like to go with him.
His dad... played baseball?
Yeah. So
I don't know too much about his family.
It's okay. I'll fill you in.
I do like his name, though. Kyler. It's a combo of me and Ty.
It's kind of queer.
It's a good one. All right. So let's get on to our picks.
All right. I'll give you a couple stats for this weekend before we get into it.
Okay.
Road teams are 11-0 straight up on Saturday. Or I'm sorry. Are 0-11. My fault. Road teams are 0-11 Saturdays in divisional games.
Wow.
So, you know... Just saying.
So that would be Chiefs.
Rams.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Colts at Chiefs and then Cowboys at Rams.
On alert. Yeah. Second, the total has gone over 13 of the last 16 Saturday divisional games. So look for the over in those two games. Wow. They're also probably the two highest of the weekend. But yeah, just a couple things to think about.
Okay, well.
A lot of red flags for the Cowboys too. If you ever want me to pull those up, I can get into those.
When you pick, because I have a feeling you're going to take the Rams, regardless, you never take the Cowboys.
Nope. Yep. Got the Rams.
Okay. So I want you. Well, do you mind if I get my picks out of the way first?
You sure you
want
to do this? I went first last time.
Well, you normally go first every time, and I've been 0-5.
All right.
That's the case.
You got your picks ready.
All right. I got my picks ready. Let me pull them up here.
I'll let you give you. Yeah. Moment of seniority here. Kyle goes first based on
5-0 week.
Yep.
All right. So. Philadelphia at New Orleans. Right now, I got the line at 8 points. Is that what you have it at, too?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going with New Orleans. I just feel that the time is up for Philadelphia.
Beat them up again.
Yeah, I feel that they, you know, it's hard to pick against a Super Bowl defending champ, but I don't know. To me, it just seems like New Orleans coming off a week of rest. This is it. You know, they're geared up for this moment. You hear the thing about Sean Payton today. He comes in with the Super Bowl trophy, $250,000 cash. He goes, win three effing games. And this
sounds
is
a lot like Bounty Gate. Maybe they should investigate.
Maybe so, but I like it. So I'm going to give me the Saints right there. Going to Los Angeles at New England. Here's my bold prediction of the weekend. I feel that we find, and I've been, if you know anything about me, I've been the biggest Brady backer over the past couple of years. just when everyone gets suspicious that, you know, it's finally coming to an end, and then Brady kind of like resurfaces again and whatever, I feel that the Chargers, despite the 4-point line, I feel like the Chargers handled business pretty easily this weekend. I really do.
Shocker, maybe not. About 68% of the public is on San Diego this weekend.
On Los Angeles?
On Los Angeles.
So that's not good.
It's not good in your opinion, in your condition this time, just because.
But the line hasn't moved.
Since 2003, Brady against the spread when it getting 40% or less of the bets is 8-0 against the spread, covering by at least 9 points per game.
I mean, like I said, throw it out the window this week because I feel that
I like the Chargers too. I do.
The way that the way Phil's been playing, I can't believe that line hasn't moved really, despite all the public action.
Yeah. I mean, four or five. I don't know which way it's going to go, but yeah. I could see going to three.
So give me, they look good versus Baltimore. Give me the Chargers there. Dallas at Los Angeles. Now, I had it in my head that I was going to go with the under of this game because I thought, you know, Dallas is playing decent defense. Maybe they'll try to get Zeke established. You know, play the over-under right now is 49. And I'm going to stick with that. Despite kind of like what you said, and it seems like that has just like, that seems like too low of an over-under for me, and for that reason, I'm going to take the under.
You're taking the under?
Yes, okay, just for like that reason, because I feel like it's like too fishy. Like it's too easy to take the over in a game like that. So I'm going to give me the under in that one of 49. And then last but not least, Indianapolis at Kansas City. I hate to take a favorite again here, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to give me the Chiefs, 5-point favorites at home. Again, I feel like that weak rest – I don't know. It just seems to me that they too kind of like the Saints, not as much. I feel like they're geared for this moment, and I feel that they show up on Saturday and they get it done. So give me the Chiefs giving 5 points Saturday.
Okay. I'll start with the Rams.
Okay.
Cowboys game, just because you had a picks on that, and give you some stats too. The Cowboys are 0-7 straight up in their last 7 road playoff games. Okay, so that's a little something.
You hate the Cowboys.
No, these are just facts. Lost 7 straight playoff games on the road. 10 of their last 12 road games have gone under. So there you go, under 40 or okay. 50. Cowboys average 17 points per game on the road and average 25 points per game at home. So just another piece there for you.
How many points on the road?
20 or on the road, 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite the discrepancy.
Yeah. So saying all that, I'm taking the Rams -7.
Okay.
Given the touchdown there. The next one, I'll take the Indy over 57. I know it's a high total, but I think KC's going to go up big and Andrew Luck's going to throw him out of it. So he'll get me some points there.
Can you give me a score prediction?
Oh, yeah. Let's go 38-20.
38-20. So you think the Chiefs could beat them up?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs could beat them up.
Okay.
Okay. next, we got my San Diego Chargers on the road against the New England Patriots. And I'm going to take the under in that game of 48. I think the Chargers are a good, well-oiled machine on offense. They'll move the ball methodically down the field, maybe take a shot here or there. And I think the Patriots are going to do the same. They don't really have a huge deep threat right now, so... I think both teams will move the ball well. They'll score some points, but it's going to take some time off.
Melvin Gordon, is he playing? From what I heard, he's going to play, but he's not himself. Was what the quote I saw.
Who is he?
He's not his old self. Is the quote that it said? I don't know.
Melvin Ingram's going to play.
Melvin Gordon, right? I mean, he's talking about
the linebacker.
Oh, but Melvin Gordon sprained his knee.
Yeah.
So I mean, but they said.
Okay. Well, I'm taking the under.
Okay. Good.
They got enough running backs there. And then lastly, Eagles, Saints, give me the over 50.5. I think Saints, yeah, the Eagles have been putting up more and more points when Big Dick Nick. So getting back there, putting up probably at 25 a game at least. I think they get there 24, 20, I don't know. They'll probably get to 24, 27, and the Saints get at least 35. So
okay.
You're well over there.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, you just speaking of Big Dick Nick, I have a question to ask you here.
You gonna show me a picture?
No.
Oh, okay.
is this crazy? Now, this was a topic, something I was listening to. Is it crazy to think that, granted, Carson Wentz is a more talented, better quarterback than Nick Foles, but is Nick Foles a better quarterback for the Eagles than Carson Wentz? Like for like them,
Kind of. Just because you get the ball out quicker, it fits the offense more. Similar situation to what was going on in Green Bay, honestly. Like, you get one quarterback trying to make a lot of plays, and he can make those plays. Yeah. It's just bad timing or not working out what's going on in the offense right now. So, like, Packers were out of sync. I think same thing goes with Carson Wentz when he was playing. It was out of sync. Like, couldn't get the feel back.
What do you – if you're the Eagles, do you just let Nick walk in free agency and just say
– Oh, I could – I would try to – I mean, try do what you can to get something with or out of it. But
well, he's gone. I mean, he's as far as I know, he's a free agent. Like, he's an unrestricted free agent going into this offseason, so he could demand.
So you get a hell of a compensation pick. So, yeah, I mean, you got to. Wentz is your guy.
Yeah. I mean, you don't think they look to trade Carson Wentz at all. And then,
unless you give up.
Well, that's the one thing I'm thinking. Say, I'm just hypothetical here. If Nick Foles goes down in New Orleans this week and they win, don't see it happening. But, okay. I mean, they. Just say they go down and win. I mean,
back in the NFC
Championship a game again, a game away from the Super Bowl again. Hey, I mean,
I'll say this: they win another Super Bowl.
Well, how crazy is it to think that like this, if this guy, if he gets to two NFC Championship games in a row, and you just let him walk?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just kind of crazy to think that. Like, I mean, I think that it's hard to like Carson Wentz could have been the MVP in NFL last year had he stayed healthy throughout. Right. You know, but it's just crazy to think. You know, as well as Nick Foles has been playing, it's kind of like. You know, don't if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm a fan of what he's been doing, but
yeah, I am too. I love watching play. It's just like it's such a cool story every time he's out there. It's kind of like
Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite just slinging it. Him and Uncle Rico. Rico.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right, guys. Thanks again for listening. Blow the Whistle. We'll be back again next week. And until then, have a good one. We'll see you then.
Good luck.